Well, hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us here today. And as I thank you, I also want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for helping make this possible, all the work that they do behind the scenes. But you know, more than anyone, we need to thank the Lord for giving us this opportunity, not only to be with each other, but to be with Him. He is the living God, and He desires for us to know Him, to have a relationship with Him, to experience Him in our lives. And He's given us this time just for us to meet with Him. And so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You for the day that You have given to us. Lord, this opportunity to be here. Father, thank You that You want us to know You. Father, thank You that You created us for the purpose of knowing You. Father, thank You that You've recreated us through salvation by causing us to be born again into a relationship with You. And Father, You want us to have a life of knowing You, walking with You, and experiencing You. Lord, as we open Your Word today, Father, I ask that You give us understanding, and Father, show us how to apply the truths that are here as we live our lives in that relationship with You. Father, speak to us. Let us know You. Father, may it be as if each one of us is personally hearing from You. Father, may it be as if it's just You and us all by ourselves before You, Lord, and that You have taken this time, this opportunity to speak just to us. Father, thank You. Open our minds and our hearts now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I know we've all gone through times where we have been afraid. You could say worried or anxious, but especially afraid. And I wonder what you do in those times. In fact, you may be in a situation like that right now, and it may involve your health or may involve finances or some member of your family or relationship. What do you do when you are afraid? Well, as we open God's Word this afternoon or morning or evening, whenever it is that you're watching this, we see that David certainly knew about times when he was afraid. Think of what we read in Psalm 56 as we look at the superscription, that is the inspired introduction to the psalm, the inspired writing that talks about the setting of the psalm. It says, for the choir director, according to Jonath, Elam, Rehoakim, a miktam of David, when the Philistines seized him in Gath. And that's the part that I want us to home in on. When the Philistines seized him in Gath. Understand and remember the historical context. You can go back to 1 Samuel 21. Saul wants to kill David because God has made it very clear that Saul is going to be removed from being king. There's not going to be a dynasty of Saul's household. David is, in fact, the anointed king, and it will be through David's family that God will fulfill His promises and His covenant. Saul wants to kill David. David flees, and he finally winds up going to Gath, which is the city of the Philistines. In fact, if you remember studying the scriptures, it's actually Goliath's hometown. Here you have David so afraid of what's going to take place with Saul, and just at the end of his ropes about trying to end this problem, he actually goes to Goliath's hometown. Well, when he gets there, the king of Gath welcomes him in, but the other Philistines begin to ask the obvious question that they would ask in that situation. What is this guy doing here? He's going to turn against us. We can't trust him. Why are we allowing him here? David begins to hear all this. And David has to actually fake being insane to get away from them. Not one of the high points of David's life. And yet we see that this is a very fearful time in David's life. Think of what we read now as we go on into the body of the psalm as David describes the fear that he's experiencing. Look at verses 1 and 2. Be gracious to me, O God, for man has trampled upon me. Fighting all day long, he oppresses me. My foes have trampled upon me all day long, for they are many who fight proudly against me. Look at verses 5 and 6. All day long they distort my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They attack, they lurk, they watch my steps, as they have waited to take my life. Again, remember, David's running from Saul. He's gone into an enemy camp. Now he's had to flee from there, gone to the cave of Adullam. It's a scary time for David. He goes on to describe it, that he describes now what he does. And this is what I want us to look at. Look at what David does in this time. Verses 3 and 4. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise. In God, I put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? Look at verse 11. In God, I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? And think back on that question that he said there, or actually statement back in verse 3. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. Had a very dear church member several years ago, wonderful older lady who had walked with the Lord for several years, and she one time, actually more than once, told me the story one time when she was raising her children, who were all parents now themselves, and they were on a vacation, on a trip, and they had to go across a very long, high bridge over a body of water, and I can't remember which body of water it was now. But as they went across the bridge, their youngest son got extremely scared. And she heard him quoting this verse to himself in the back seat of the car. Wonderful thing to do in that time, in a situation like that, when we're afraid. When I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you. What a lesson to learn, to apply, to remember. But why can we trust God? Why, when we're afraid, can we put our trust in God? What makes him worthy of our trust? Well, as we look at the rest of this psalm, we see some key reasons, very key, real, practical reasons why we can trust God in those times. First of all, God sees us. Look at verse 8. You have taken account of all my wanderings. You think about what an appropriate way to express and phrase David's experience, wanderings, especially when he went to Gath. David was obviously wandering. That certainly wasn't under the leadership of the Lord. David had gotten fearful and was allowing that to make his decisions for him, and he was wandering. What a tremendous wonderful way of putting it. You can't help but hear that phrase, wandering, without thinking of the nation of Israel wandering in the wilderness, and you recall what happened. God brought them to the promised land, and yet they chose not to go in out of disbelief, and as a result of that, God chastened them, God disciplined, he judged them. And they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until the generation that made that decision died off so that God could bring in the next generation into the promised land. But we always refer to that as the wanderings of Israel because of their disbelief. And yet we find a tremendous truth here. Whether it's David in this time of his life, which was a time of disbelief, or Israel even, or you, or me, God always sees us, even in times of disobedience. I'm not denying that there are consequences. Obviously, David having to fake insanity was not a high point of his career. That's not something you want to put on your job resume or a job application. Israel's wanderings in the wilderness is not a highlight in their life as a nation in terms of their faith. But God never took his eye off of them. And child of God, whatever you're facing today, even if it was the result of disbelief or sin, and I'm not going to deny the seriousness of it or the consequences of it, God sees you. God has not taken his eyes off of you. God will never take his eyes off of you. You are not in some place where you are hidden from his sight, where you're off his mind. God sees you. Whatever you're facing, God sees you. But notice what else. Not only do we see that God sees us, but we also discover God loves us. God deeply cares for us and for what we're going through. Look at the latter part of verse 8. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Now, a lot of biblical scholars say that it was a tradition in that time where mourners, those who had lost loved ones, when they would go to the grave site to cry, would actually have a small bottle, if you would, that would catch their tears, and they would leave that at the graveside just as a display of their mourning, their grief, and their deep love for the departed. But you think about what David is saying here. God, you have caught every tear that I have cried in this situation. He went on to say, are they not in your book? God has kept a record of them. Child of God, you will never go through a fear, a pain, a hurt of any type without the Father's concern. In fact, as you parents, certainly can testify to this. What has hurt you or troubled you or frightened you more in your life? Problems or difficulties or circumstances that you faced, or ones that your children faced? Which ones really burdened your heart more? I doubt that there is a parent, a genuine parent, who really loves their child, who would not rather be the one to go through every pain and difficulty that the child had instead of having the child go through it. You think about our Heavenly Father. He has seen your every tear. He has recorded it. He knows your every fear, your every worry, every hurt that you have endured, every wrong that you have suffered, and we can trust Him because of it. You know, 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all of your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. We can trust God because He sees us, because He loves us. He deeply cares what we're going through. But then notice as well, He answers us. Look at verse 9. Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. God is for me. We can rest assured that God is in fact going to answer our prayers, that God is in fact going to intervene. He's going to do it in the present by protecting us, providing for us. Look at verses 10 and 11. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Child of God, our Father is going to carry you through this day and through this situation. Now, you might not know how He's going to do that 5 minutes from now, but this very moment He's carrying you. But not only is it, you know, in the present, but we can also trust the fact that He'll answer us ultimately. Look at verses 12 and 13. Your vows are binding upon me, O God. I will render thank offerings to you. For you have delivered my soul from death, indeed my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before God in the light of the living. God, David knows that God is going to ultimately deliver. Child of God, the Father is going to deliver you in His time and in His way, in His absolute perfection, in life, but certainly in eternity. God is going to carry us through this. God listens and He answers our prayer. Jeremiah 33:3 that we've often quoted. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 4, when he was talking about our Lord being our priest, think about how that applies. He's actually the great priest, he's the perfect priest who offered Himself as the perfect one-time sacrifice for our sins so that we would have a perfect access to the Father. But you think of what we see in verses 14 through 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. The concept of a priest was the fact that he had to be a man in order to be able to relate to what the people were going through who he was praying for. God became man to be the perfect priest. Our Lord has been there. And because He's been there, He can be the one who can perfectly intercede for us before the Father. Verse 16, and this is the result of that. Verse 16, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He will provide all that we need moment by moment, and He will ultimately deliver us. We can trust Him because He hears us. David said, when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. Child of God, when you are afraid, you can put your trust in Him. He sees you. He loves you. He hears you. And whenever you're afraid, and that might be today for you in some situation, you can trust Him. You may be very afraid of the situation, the circumstances that you're in, and I'm not trying to diminish those whatsoever. But in that situation, you can trust Him. He sees you. You're not hidden from Him. He knows exactly what you're going through. He deeply, deeply, eternally, immeasurably loves you, and He will answer you. You can trust Him. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you, O God, that by your grace you are our Father, that you've adopted us as your children. And Father, thank you that we can trust you. Lord, may we always remember that. And Father, for those individuals who are going through trials or difficulties, adversity, and Father, this day they're truly frightened about what is happening or what may happen or what their concern might happen. Oh God, may they know the peace, the security, the confidence of trusting you. Oh God, lift them, carry them. Oh God, remind them that you see them, remind them that you love them, and remind them that you will answer them. Oh God, enable them to trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I hope as you go through today that you do have a great day in the Lord, but I hope that you have that great day because you know that even if you're afraid, you can trust in Him.